It's almost inescapable. Every single American seems to have a cell phone that has the ability to put apps on it. But should you be putting all those apps there? If you're on TikTok, you may be shocked to find out that TikTok actually has access to your keystrokes. That's correct. Has access to what you're typing on your phone. It also collects a ton of other biometric data, such as your face, your voice print. It can predict your age, gender, and interests based upon your activities. It goes pretty deep. So some people may be going, well, how do I escape this? How do I get away from a cell phone service where all these apps are collecting so much data about us each and every single day? Well, one man decided to come up with a solution. And my interview today is with Ben Wilson. Ben developed the off-grid phone, which is operable without cellular service. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome, America Emboldened audience. Today, I have an interesting episode for you. It was sent to me by a fan of the show that asked me if I had seen this off-grid cell phone. And I'm not even sure I can call it a cell phone. But today, we're going to talk to Ben Wilson, who's an American engineer who designs and builds products. And he is the one making the off-grid phone, which is basically a way to use a phone anywhere there is a Wi-Fi signal without any cellular service. So this really intrigued me and I wanted to learn more about it. So I have Ben Wilson here on the program today. Ben, how are you today?
Doing okay. Nice to be here.
Excellent. I appreciate you being here. So Ben, before we even get started, just tell the listeners about who you are, what type of engineering you've been doing, and how you got to this point today.
So my background is, you could say, mechatronics, which is, say you want to design a microwave. You need a box. You need some software to make it do whatever it does. You need some electronics, and you need a motor to spin the little table. And those are really like the four things that a mechatronics engineer does. You wouldn't expect us to do stuff like the graphics design on the front of the panel or the user interface, like thinking about how you make it work. But the rest of the, like the engineering part, that's what we concentrate on. Another thing that we're normally doing is like robotics. So that's my background. And then I got more and more into like manufacturing because I wanted to like actually make stuff. And so that's kind of where I'm at today.
Did you go to school for engineering? And if so, where did you go to school?
I did undergrad at Georgia Tech, and then I did a graduate degree at Stanford.
Excellent. So Stanford, excellent school. So you are well-versed in what you're doing. All right. So I was intrigued by this whole off-grid concept because who doesn't want the ability to go without cellular service? But I'm confused by all of this, and that's why I wanted to have you onto the show. You know, with the influx of Wi-Fi all around us, Elon Musk putting satellites up that are going to allow a wireless network, are you thinking that your phone is going to be able to work all over the globe for the most part? Or how is this thing exactly going to work? What is it that you're designing?
So I guess I should start with a caveat that if you want to call somebody on the grid, you're going to need to connect to the grid somehow. But this phone is about, I guess, minimizing that. And there are different levels you can go to do that. But if you're going to be calling people on the grid, yeah, you'll need a Wi-Fi connection that will be connected to the grid, but you won't need a cell connection. You won't be, like, for example, tracked by the cell phone towers or you won't need a service contract with a cell phone provider. You will need to like set up you'll need to get yourself a phone number, basically, like a internet phone service provider. And that's all included with the phone number, which is, like I said, a few bucks a month. And then once you've got a Wi-Fi connection, as long as it's not a terrible connection, then yeah, anywhere in the world you can connect up, and then it'll be just like you're calling from wherever your phone area code is from.
So what led you to believe that there was this market for this? Because I think it's great, and I'm going to tell you why in a few, but I want to know from the designer why you felt it was something that was excellent to design.
Most companies are going to design products that they think they can make money on, and I'm designing a product I want. So that's what led me to think that it was a good idea. It wasn't really about like making a lot of profit. I do think there's enough of a market that you know, I can sell some and I won't starve. But really I'm doing it because I just don't like carrying a cell phone in my pocket and I want an alternative.
And so your phone is it's reminiscent of the phones from the late 1990s, early 2000s, with the exception of, it looks like you have an LCD screen that's in there, but it's a typical, I'm not even sure what the analog version of this would be, but the 1 through 9, the pound and the hashtag, the zero, it's not a QWERTY keyboard. So are you able to text from this device in what you're programming?
Yeah, you can do text messages with it also.
So this is going back to like 1999 where you press, you know, three, you
yeah,
know,
press it 3 times multiple. To get a certain letter and 3 times to get a different one.
I love it. You know, I was thinking about for the people that live in more remote areas, I have family that lives up in the mountains in Virginia, where cell service may not always be the best. This is an absolutely incredible alternative. And I was even thinking about the you know, if you have an elderly family that doesn't right. have great cell service, what an awesome product to make sure that they are able to connect.
Well, another thing would be if they're not used to using a smartphone and don't want to learn, you could give them one of these and it's a familiar interface.
Yeah, it's very simplistic. And I love the simplicity behind your design. Am I correct though, in that LCD screen, like what all can this phone do? Is it able to do so many of the things that my iPhone can do? Like what can it do? What can it do?
Okay. So there's no apps on it. Some people might not like that, but I like that because I don't like carrying apps around in my pocket because I feel like it's, you know, those National Geographic videos where some big animal has been brought down by a lion and then there's this, you know, bunch of jackals and hyenas and lions just gorging on the corpse. That's a little bit like my mental idea of what apps are doing to my inside my pocket. So there's there's some people out there who are that way also. And the idea is the phone doesn't necessarily limit you to only the stuff that the phones in the late 90s can do. There's some things that I would like to start adding to it that are more advanced features, like making maps or things like it can't do right now, but like later on it might be able to. So yes, there's the potential for stuff that smartphones can do and that makes your, you know, like what you'd expect in a modern life to be able to do with a phone. But then also I kind of just want to shut out the, you know, social media and, you know, scrounging through your phone to pull out your metadata and anything like that, that a lot of the apps are going to be doing.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're aware of about what's being gathered informational wise on the average American teenager, straight up to the older adults every day. Is that something that you feel from a privacy standpoint, is something that you're trying to stay away from?
Yeah. I wouldn't consider myself an expert on exactly what's happening, but I will say that it's very clear to anybody who's just casually observing that, most of the apps you install are not, they're not a tool for you to do what you want with. They're a tool for companies to make money with. And, you know, there's a set of prerogatives that come with that don't really benefit you a lot of times. So expecting to be tracked to a store and then to another store and, you know, figuring out how much you're spending on certain stuff is a pretty reasonable thing to say that, yeah, smartphones are probably doing that. And then, you know, the browsers will set cookies, and then your web habits are also pretty well covered. And then if you're walking by cell towers and you've got your cell phone with you, obviously there's some record of that. And like, I'm sure a lot of it's lost, but a lot of it's probably not lost. And the bigger we build systems, the more integrated they are, and the more the government decides that, you know, it's convenient to have access to that. And then it just sort of grows from there.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware of like TikTok's policy, and it's not just TikTok, it's a lot of the social medias. They actually, in the terms of agreement that people are agreeing to, is that it can monitor your keystrokes. So as you're typing text messages, if you have TikTok on your phone and it's open in the background, it knows everything that you're typing. And it's not on my phone as a result. Once I realized that, I was like, I don't need to be entertained for that. But I mean, there is this incredible invasion of privacy that's going on around the world because of this influx of smartphones and smart devices. Yesterday, I was interviewing a gentleman who's walking across the United States, and he mentioned a brand of shoes that he's wearing that I'd never heard before in my entire life. And I'm going to bed and I flip open Instagram, and sure enough, I see the shoe company advertised in front of me. I didn't Google them. I didn't do anything. And I'm just completely freaked out at the fact that somehow my conversation had to be brought in order to find its way into my advertisers. So I love the fact that this type of device that you're creating really is a way to minimize that type of impact for those that want to be more socially informed about what type of information they're sharing. I also think that you have a great market for emergency services. Tell the listeners, I saw you have this range of about 10 miles. How are you accomplishing? Is it like a walkie-talkie? Like, how did you do a cell phone slash almost like a emergency type radio service?
There's two different radios in the phone. One is a Wi-Fi radio. Another is, it's called LoRa, which is, just stands for long range. And it's a really low power and long range radio that doesn't have a lot of bandwidth, but the trade-off you get for that is the battery lasts longer, and you really need that if you're going to send something that far from a phone. So anyway, what it lets you do is you can send text messages directly between the off-grid phones. So if you're like out like in wilderness rescue or just hiking in the backcountry, or you know, you live in a neighborhood that just doesn't have service and you want to talk to, you know, like you got a neighbor or family that lives nearby you, you could send text messages without needing to be connected to anything, even Wi-Fi. So yeah, if you wanted to completely get off the grid, that's the part that's like purely off grid.
So it has that as a feature as well. So here's my question though. My wife actually asked me to ask you this. And I thought it was excellent because I'm not a techie. I'm a tech person, but not at that level. So I understand like a voice over internet protocol, right? VoIP, get one of those. And that way I can make my phone calls, get my phone number through your service. What I don't understand is, say I bring this phone into my house and my home has a Wi-Fi service that's password protected. How do I bypass that? Does your phone automatically do that on these Wi-Fi networks? Or would I still have to have a password to get on?
No, it does not. You don't carry it around and it cracks networks. You have to have a password for it to work. So if you go to McDonald's and you want to get on their Wi-Fi, if they don't have one of those screens that you have to log in through a browser, you can use this there. You'd have to just type in the password.
So you would need a password. Now, in the wilderness, how are you relying on that? Would it have to then be a network, like a mesh network, that you'd have a password for? Or are you looking to say, hey, you know what, get like Comcast Xfinity has coverage all over the United States. If you purchase that plan, then you have coverage all over. Is that what you're hoping, or how would that work?
There's a few different ways you can do this, and it really depends on what you need. But if you're buying this, well, to replace a cell phone, you're gonna have a bad time. But if you, for example, have a big ranch and you're okay setting up a Wi-Fi network on the ranch, then anybody who comes there and has one of these phones can walk around the ranch and make calls either inside the ranch or out to the greater network, as long as there's internet service to the, you know, to that ranch network. And you wouldn't need, you know, the cell phones. Like you could be out where there isn't any coverage. So that's one use case. You might also use it like in a disaster recovery scenario where like if you just need to get messages out, you can get some repeaters and then string them out to a place that does have coverage and basically build yourself a little connection to the network. Or if you just want to talk locally, you can talk on a local network. Now, I don't know if that makes it clear, because people are very familiar with the way cell phones work, and it's hard to explain it in a way that describes all of these use cases. So
I guess, you know, do you live in a more remote type of environment that, you know, is the reason why you kind of went this direction?
So there's a couple reasons I went this direction. And one is because what I would really like is something that's as capable as a smartphone, but designed in the way that I like. And you can't just go directly there, especially with the budget I've got. You could expect, if this is successful, that there's going to be another version a few years from now that's more capable. And then the other thing is, I do travel a lot, and I don't like having to buy like a SIM card when I come into a new country. And this really would be convenient in the sense that I can land somewhere, and if I can get on Wi-Fi, I can make calls. And then also, I do have family that live in places that don't have cell coverage. And when I visit them, it's nice to just, you know, get on the Wi-Fi network, and then my phone works without any problems.
You know, and I'll let listeners know that was one of your concerns with this interview today. You said, I'm not quite sure what type of service I'll have with where I'll be, but, you know, I'd be happy to do the interview. So
I want to take a break here for a second, Ben, because we got to get a word in from our sponsors. But when we come back, I want to talk more about the design of the phone and what you've also maybe worked on before, as well as advice for future engineers, for a young person who's thinking about a career in invention and engineering, maybe some advice that you'd have for them. I want to cover a little bit more. If you guys are enjoying this interview, feel free to reach out. Twitter, @RealGregBolden, or you can email me, greg@americaemboldened.com, or on all socials, America Emboldened. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It's summertime. Ready for your vacation to the beach, the lake, or the mountains? But what about your accommodations? Ever wonder what germs were left behind by the previous guests? Kathy G. from Tulsa says the Genesis Fogger gives her peace of mind and confidence when traveling. With Genesis, she knows that the air and surfaces in her vacation rental are free of bacteria and viruses left behind by the previous occupants. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Surely if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
A So speaking of this phone, I want to talk about the build. I want to talk about, you know, do you have a prototype that's working at this point? How far out are you? Are you using that phone right now? Oh, it's in your hand. I see it. So for listeners, he just held up the phone. It's got like this nice silver type finish on the front, and it looked like it had a black back, right? Did I see that right? Yeah, nice. Ooh, nice matte black. That is actually a really sexy looking phone, actually. I wasn't expecting that. It's got a very simplistic design, very nice lines, a little bit boxier than the original iPhone, but I would imagine you got a decent battery in there. What's battery life like?
So this is actually there's two versions of this already. We started out doing just Wi-Fi, and we're selling that already. And then we added this long-range text messaging, and then that's the off-grid phone. And we're getting ready to do that one. The battery it's basically going to last a day. And the reason is because we're using a processor that's not designed to be a phone. Later, that's one of the things we want to update, and you would probably get like the battery range that you might expect from those, you know, phones that look more like this, the older style. But for now, that's what we've got.
Okay. I mean, that's good to know. Are you looking for backing on this right now? Like what's the plan? I see that on the website you have people can sign up as an early sign up for this new phone. And by the way, for those looking for it, it's not just off grid. Is it a zero or an O?
It's 0XFF. And that's kind of a programming in joke. If you write 256 in binary, you're going to get 0XFF, or sorry, in hexadecimal, you're going to get 0XFF.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I'm not sure that's going to make sense to anybody who's not a programmer, but it's sort of like technical off-grid.
I had a guest a few weeks ago that does programming and SEO and a ton of different things within Google. And I had so many programmers reaching out to me that loved the episode. So I think that, yes, this will make sense to people. It doesn't make sense to me, but it will make sense to them. And that's what matters. All right. So it's 0xffgrid.com if you want to go and check the website. So people can now sign up to get that phone. How long would it take, do you believe, until this is ready to go out into the world?
So the plan right now is we're just going to be collecting emails from interested people until we get enough emails that we feel like we're ready to basically have enough buyers to support the first manufacturing run. And we're probably going to do crowdfunding. I don't know. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We basically make a web page on this crowdfunding platform, and people can say, yeah, I would buy that. And then if enough people do it, then the project passes the test and it's good to go. And so all the credit cards are charged, and then we get the money to do the project. And so if people share their email on the site, then that would be the first step, and then crowdfunding, and then we produce it.
What do you think? Are we about a year out from this type of phone, or a little longer? What's the realistic timeline?
It could end up being something like that. The previous version of the phone ended up taking 3 years, and I'll blame some of that on the coronavirus and some of that on issues, because writing the software for something like a phone is a pretty big undertaking, and I would say I underestimated how much work that was. We do have the supply chain set up for making these already, and so I think that gives us a pretty big advantage this go around. If everything worked perfectly, it would be on the order of, you know, less than 6 months, but we could plan on it not working perfectly. And I would say within a year is probably more realistic.
What else would you like people to know about this project, or even the old phone that does not have the long range? What was that called?
It's called the Y phone, like Wi-Fi phone.
Okay. The Y phone, WI.
Yeah. And there's a website for that. WIPHONE.io, Y-phone.io. We're actually shipping the very last of the crowdfunding phones for that project right now. And that's one of the reasons I started doing the webpage for this new version.
I've just pulled that phone up because I wasn't aware of it when I was getting ready for this interview. See, I missed that one. The Y phone has been out. And what I like about this, the size, the form factor looks a little smaller than what this long range phone currently is. And it has almost a see-through translucent case where you can see the motherboard underneath. Is that safe to call it a motherboard? I don't know if I'm probably calling it the wrong thing.
You could call it that, yeah.
Okay. But it is a really neat looking device. This is a great little design for it. You didn't reinvent the phone by any means, but I like this. This is pretty cool. I didn't know this was out there.
That one is designed, I would say, more for people who like DIY electronics and software guys. It's made to, like, you can reprogram the phone basically. To do stuff you want to. And then we also did something on the back of it where the back is actually a removable, and you can replace it with a PCB, which is just it's a circuit board basically. So if somebody can design circuit boards, they can put one on the back of the phone and then make it do something, you know, crazy that phones aren't meant to do, or something. You know, you can build a device that's similar to a phone. Like if you run a warehouse, you could put a barcode scanner on the back of the phone and then integrate it into your routing system for for packages.
That's really neat. Really, it's just a hackable phone. You know, if you have the,
yeah, it's exactly,
have the ability.
It's exactly that. It's intended to be hackable, whereas most smartphones, the opposite of that, they're really hard to set up the programming environment for, and you can't access all of the peripherals, like the accelerometers and things, at a very low level.
If people want to support this, the best way to do so is to put their name and their email address in. Is there any way now to help support your project and the ideas that you have that you want to put out there for people?
Adding your email would be the best, but if somebody really wanted to help us out, spreading the word, you know, that we're there, getting more people to sign up, because that'll let us launch faster.
Okay, and I know that you say were. So are you working with a team, or is this just you? I want to make sure that I get
credit. Oh, this is definitely not just me.
Okay. I want to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. There's a team of, I would say, about 5 engineers who are involved in the design, and then there's maybe another 15 people who manage the things like production and logistics and you know, the online stuff where we have our website. And that's not even counting the suppliers that make the parts.
Well, I think this is an excellent option for my listeners that just want a phone. They don't want something smart. They don't want something that has apps that are going to track them. They don't want a cell service that they have to pay a large monthly fee to. If you have Wi-Fi and you're already paying your internet bill, you could have this, and this could just act as your old, I'm going to put in quotes, landline, so to speak. I also want to make it clear that one of my listeners pointed your website out and said, I think this sounds really interesting, you know, an off-grid phone. And I reached out to you. This is by no means an advertisement. We've never met before. I just want to highlight people that do courageous things in America, and engineering and ingenuity is at the top of that list. What are some other things that you have in the works, or what? I just want to learn more about the engineering process.
I've got, a list of over 50 product ideas I'd like to work on, but a product is a lot of work. So it really is an involved process. So I'll probably be sinking a lot of time into this one for quite a while. I do have, it's a fishing boat, a remote control fishing boat that we're working on that, I'll probably start. The same thing, I'll put up a little website after a few months and try to get people to sign up for it. It has a camera that points down into the water, so you can connect it to your cell phone, and then you drive out and you can look down in the water and see the fish. And then the idea is you're standing there with a fishing line, and you clip your hook to it, and then you can drive out, and then you drop it right over the fish, and you can watch, you know, what's going on the whole time. Well, that's another one that I'm working on.
I have a friend of mine that just won the Blue Marlin competition. It was like a $3 million prize. But that probably would have been an awesome thing to be able to throw out into the Atlantic Ocean. to try to find the fish and find the largest one. Definitely cheating, but that's awesome. Hey, it's ingenuity.
Yeah,
if you can do it, then that's great. You know, maybe I just want to give one other segment here for listeners. What do you have to do as an engineer in America? If somebody's listening to my show and they're a teenager, a 20 something, and they want to get into being an engineer, what are some of the tips that you would give them to both protect their ideas themselves as well as to be successful?
I would say, well, to be successful, I would say find the smartest person you can work with or group of people and just hang around with them. You really do have to study a lot also, but working on cool stuff happens by finding people who are really capable and just working with them. That's one of the best ways to get ideas and to see the things that work and see the things that don't work. As a career thing, that's a really good one. And then I think if you're like a teenager who just wants to do it, I would just say build stuff. Like you get experience. Like I think there's something people say about engineers are as capable as the amount of stuff they've destroyed or broken. Like it's not always on purpose, but like you make a mistake and you learn from it. And you have to do that a lot to learn a lot. And then on the protecting yourself side, I'm kind of at the point where you'll hear anecdotes about people's ideas getting stolen, and it does happen. But I would say don't get too hung up on it. You'll get a lot more opportunities by sharing what you know and making connections, then you'll lose opportunities by letting something slip out of your hands. This is just my opinion, but I think it's based on, you know, seeing stuff happen. And for sure, there are people, when you get around them, you need to be careful. But in general, I think that's a pretty good rule.
I think it's some great advice that you just dropped for everybody. So we've been talking with Ben Wilson. He's an American engineer. His product is called Off Grid, but it's 0xffgrid.com. If you want to learn a little bit more, it's a way to unplug from the cellular service and all those apps. If you just want a simplistic phone, great for somebody that's on a ranch, maybe somebody who's going hiking with another family that's up ahead, maybe on the Appalachian Trail or something. That could be a great usage of this type of phone with the long range communications. And I'm looking forward to seeing you be successful with this product. I want to see this out there and people using it. I believe that while I don't think it's going to all of a sudden be used by 50 million people, but I think there's a niche market for this phone. And I hope people find you and find it and your team's efforts and what that you're building, because I think that I'm all for it. I'm all for sharing less information. I'm all for moving out into acres of land and still having a way to talk to my loved ones. And I appreciate you making something like this available to people. So I want to see. And then if this thing, you know, is ready for production, I want you to contact me so we can let the listening audience know that this thing's live. That it's there and we can talk about what's next and go from there, Ben.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, there are a lot of people out there who I think are not super happy with the way cell phones work. And I'm not going to say this is the solution to all their problems, but I would be really happy if I could, you know, make that, you know, a little bit more something that's made for those people as opposed to something those people have to use because the rest of the world sort of forces it on them.
Yeah, anything we can do. I mean, my show talks a lot about taking our own liberty for ourselves, not from government, not from politicians, but, you know, making your own decisions. And I like the fact that this allows you to do that. So I wish you well, and I thank you for joining the show today. And please keep in touch and let me know what's going on with the company and with your phones.
Cool. Yeah, it's been nice talking, and I'll get back with you once we're, got all the emails and we're ready to launch.
Thank you, Ben. Listeners, something for you to do today after you're done this episode. I want you to go into your location services on your cell phone in your settings and find out which apps are using your location when you are not using the app. It's one thing to use a GPS map service and have it using your locations, but it's another thing to have Facebook or TikTok or Instagram constantly logging where you are and knowing what stores you've walked into, learning what traffic patterns you have, where you likely work, where you likely live, because all of those data points are being saved. I don't believe that Americans are in tune enough with what a smartphone has done for your privacy. And I've heard some guests and some individuals say to me, well, privacy doesn't matter anymore. There's no reasonable expectation of privacy in this day and age. But I disagree. I believe that we can have privacy if we demand privacy and take control of our information in our own ways. I'm not asking anybody to unplug. I'm not asking anybody to go off the grid. I'm simply asking us to be more mindful about what we share and how it may be used against us. If you enjoyed today's episode talking to Ben Wilson, feel free to let me know on Twitter at RealGregBolden, or you can reach me by email greg@americaembolden.com. Thank you for tuning in. I know you had plenty of other options today of things you could listen to and spend your time, but you spent it here with me, and I appreciate it. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.